Have an Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's home for sports. Get the app. Get The Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download The Sports Hub app today.
Brady up under center. Motion to the left by Adam, makes the catch on the screen, and then he barrels his way forward, plowing inside the five and into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Patterson to the 10, to the 15, right to the 20. 25-30, avoids a hit, and he runs right to the 40. Trying to outrun the kicker to the 45-40, he will. He's in the clear. Goodbye, Cordero Patterson. Touchdown, Patriots! White running to the end zone.
That's how we do it.
And he's in for a Patriots touchdown. Brady motions White across the formation, takes the snap. It's a touch pass to James White. Sprints to the far pylon. He's in. He's got a second touchdown of the day. And the Patriots expand their lead. And the punt with O'Donnell standing on his 30. He has it shoulder high. And
got it.
His
got it.
Right up the middle. Blocked by Hightower.
Score.
It's going to be picked up by the Patriots. Van Noy. Pressure by Claymore. He starts to roll his left. He pulls up. He heaves one deep to the end zone. That ball is sailing toward the goal line. It's caught by White. White is caught and wrapped up. Short of the goal line. And the Patriots are going to win, but that close to a Hail Mary and an answered prayer for Chicago. 38. The Bears 31. That's the final from Chicago.
We just go home.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bob Soucy is brought to you by the New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Bob Soucy is the voice of your New England Patriots here on your home for Patriots football. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Now, if all the quarterbacks you've seen this year, and I know Bortles has fallen apart, but he was good against the Patriots. How much worse is Trubisky than and, than anyone else you've seen?
Well, off air, early in the game, Zoe said he reminds me a lot of Tannehill. And then later I saw where Greg Bedard sent out a tweet addressing him as Mitch Tannehill. I think we saw Tannehill as a rookie play very well against the Patriots, but we have seen him in recent years as well, including the first game between the Pats and the Dolphins this year. I'd say even Tannehill at that stage was a better quarterback than Trubisky. I don't want to be too negative with this guy, but a world of difference, certainly, from a week earlier with a player drafted in the same class, 8 picks behind him. Even watching Trubisky, sometimes when he threw, you could tell he wanted to tuck the ball and run. There was one play in particular where he started to cower behind the line, and then the play stayed alive, and he eventually did make a pass attempt. But a big difference, certainly, from a lot of quarterbacks the Pats have seen, with exception of his ability to make yards with his legs.
All right. Well, that's the one thing about yesterday that that frustrates me is as bad as Trubisky is, this defense played about as bad as they have all season. I mean, that one run, the 77-yard Trubisky run, where he just walked it into the end zone, is the worst defensive play we've seen all season long. Why is it that while the offense seems to be finding their footing and close to firing all cylinders, the defense seems to be regressing as we saw yesterday?
Well, that's an extremely frustrating play on a lot of different levels, because I think what wound up opening the opportunity for him is that you had Claiborne, the right defensive end, as well as I think Flowers on that play, if memory serves. They were giving chase, but the problem is once Claiborne got to the far side of the field, now you've abandoned your gap integrity, your containment spot. So that allowed Trubisky to run to the wide open side of the field. And, when you drop back in coverage, particularly when it's man, you know, guys in the secondary, they've got their back to the quarterback. And I asked Brian Flores about plays like that earlier in the year, and he said, you know, if your responsibility is to cover, you cover. If your responsibility is to rush or contain, that's what you do. And so you lose containment early. That allows them to keep the play alive. And then it was just bizarre. I mean, Gilmore missed a tackle on a play. There was a play where, and I think they had the very same run where Rowe missed a tackle, overrunning the quarterback. You had guys flowing to the near side of the field, overrunning the play. And you know, that's extremely frustrating. And it's something that you don't expect at this stage of the season. I think, you know, the first couple of games, sometimes the Patriots have been prone in the past. I think back to the Kansas City game, for example, in 2014, where you saw that early in the year. But at this stage, we're near the midpoint. That was week 7. And especially when they know they've got to go up against a mobile quarterback, and they've been told all week, contain this guy and don't let him get out of the pocket with his legs and beat us there, that's almost inexcusable. It's really frustrating.
It was like trying to tackle a guy who was running in tar. The guy was so slow, and it was infuriating watching that play. And he did it again, too. He didn't score. He almost did. And he did it twice, which was almost just as unforgivable. But the one thing you can say, however, is that for the past several weeks, Sony Michel has been quite the weapon, maybe their biggest offensive weapon. And we don't know what his status is. There was something from Ian Rappaport this morning that mentioned that he had heard some people saying that it may not be as bad as they thought it was going to be. However, let's say he's out for a while. What do the Patriots do? Who can they bring up from the practice squad that can at least just take the beatings off of James White? Because when James White's the only guy, that's got to be hard on his body.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, you certainly have to be very leery of overusing him. And, you know, as effectively as he caught the ball and ran the ball late in the game yesterday, you know, that is a concern moving forward. And, you know, as well as Kenyon Barner has run in his limited time as a Patriot, you know, at this point to have two backs, you know, of similar size in Barner's case, a lot less experience in terms of touches in the NFL, you got to add depth. And I think Gillislee is a guy who's been out there. The Patriots had him, of course, last year. He was in training camp, picked up briefly by New Orleans. His name that's been mentioned the last couple of weeks. He knows the offense. You know, I think last year he got off to a decent start for the Pats, at least with the 4 touchdowns in the first 2 games before he was mostly inactive for the second half of the season. They had Ralph Webb on the practice squad, recently let him go. And, you know, that's a possibility of bringing somebody like that back after a pretty impressive preseason for him. But there's no question. I think moving forward, you can't just have the 2 running backs plus the fullback Devlin.
All right. So you're in Buffalo a week from tonight. Let's hear it. Favorite Buffalo story.
Because you've seen the carnage.
You've seen the mooning circus. You've seen the parking lots.
You've seen the mooning.
And it's wonderful. Fantastic. And it's excellent. And
favorite Buffalo story, Bob Sosi.
All right. Well, my favorite Buffalo story is a trip with the Patriots to a Buffalo game, but involves an old friend who shall remain nameless and is a lifelong Buffalo Bills fan. And this goes back to the era when Jim Kelly was playing, of course, and the Bills were going to Super Bowls year after year. And I think this tradition still takes place periodically outside of Rich Stadium. And he would talk about going to tailgates and the after-game parties. He happened to have an in with one of the Bills players who would go to after-game parties with them. And there's this tradition of drinking beer in a non-conformist way, rather than opening up the can of beer or the bottle of beer and using just putting the can to your lips and drinking it that way, you would actually employ the body of another person. And
would it be butt beer?
It would be butt beer. It would be.
Yes. We've seen that.
We have seen with a female.
There's many a video of Bills fans drinking butt beer. Yes,
which I found oddly erotic. I'm not going to lie.
Other than that, it's just the usual. I mean, the single finger salutes on the way in and out of the stadium. You know, the people pulling down their Zubas periodically. with their starter jackets.
Yeah.
That is the official uniform of Bills Mafia. Yes.
Yeah. It has been for the last 35 years.
Yeah.
All right, Bob.
There was one time we took a cab, too, very quickly. Orchard Park is in a residential area. We took a cab, Mark Capello, the producer, and I, to the stadium from a downtown hotel. So it was a pretty long ride. And I think the cab driver had collected every newspaper from, like, the last 360 days. there were piles in the front seat on the dashboard. You know, it was like a 1975 Oldsmobile. So, you know, that to me summed up Buffalo. That's Buffalo. It's a city in a lot of ways that Tom forgot.
Yes, a city full of hoarders. All right.
When I say that, as a proud native of Central New York, not too far from Buffalo.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bob Sosi, thanks so much for the time, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we appreciate it.
I swear, when it's not a Monday night or something like that, I want to go to an away game. It's one of my goals. I don't really care about going to any other stadium, but I want to see the chaos that happens at the Ralph before a Bills game.
At 42 years old, don't wear anything from any other team.
Oh, no! I'm going complete incognito. I'm not wearing anything,
because that's a fight waiting to brew.
Oh, no, I know better than that. I want to just blend in.
My friend had a Jets hat on, and no bueno.
What was thrown at him?
Nothing, because we were in that Jim Kelly area, which my friend, who's a diehard Buffalo fan, said we had to sit in. But when you get into the – I told you already today about the guy with his balls out of the car.
Right.
And when you get into the parking lot – people throwing beer cans at us, and then you get a little further in the parking lot, and then they're just yelling at you, and then you get a little further in the parking lot, and it's like season ticket holders, and they don't care.
They don't mind.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, you know, I got a job to go to. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Belly button ring, just kind of constantly taking it in and out, caused an irritation, got a rash down there. So, you know, I had to take care of that. Doctors and nurses over at MGH were awesome. So, you know, things happen and you handle them and you keep moving forward.
There was a time, obviously sales screwing with them, but there was a time, a very strange time, where men were getting their belly buttons pierced.
But that clip drove me crazy all weekend long. Because I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that, because the words that come out of his mouth, and you read the quote, says, oh, well, he's effing with these guys. But what would you do if you were one of those reporters and he's saying that? Certainly while you're saying it, you're probably smiling. You're probably going, all right, well, this guy's messing, roll your eyes. It was a group of stone-faced Nick Cafardos. Like, yep, this is what happened. This is why you were sick.
I would have asked to see his belly button.
Yeah, I would say, I didn't know you had a pierced belly button. Could you show it to me? That's a fact we didn't know.
And then just even go, like, why the hell did you get your belly button pierced?
Yeah, like, how old were you when you got your belly button pierced?
Like, you're not an old man.
right. I mean, you're kind of out of the hot topic demo.
Yeah, like, are you really comfortable, like, going to the beach with a belly button ring in?
But there was no one who made any kind of face as if he was being sarcastic, and nobody asked a follow-up question. So I all of a sudden started questioning my own reality, going, hang on, well, does that mean they know something we don't know? Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe they all know he does have his belly button pierced. And do people get infections? Well, listen, could it make them sick?
How many times when your wife, or even if yourself, if you take out an earring and then put it back in, that you're rushed to the hospital?
I mean, it was one of those things where I was going, why didn't anybody follow up that answer? Just, okay, that's pretty funny. Or as you said, ask about it and see what he has to say. But then be, all right, well, you know, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what was the moment that you needed to go in? You know, so, have him expand on what was going on. We got nothing from Chris Sale. Like, nothing, no answers.
No, he got rich guy health. He probably had diarrhea, and then, well, the most of us would have to sit there with kaopectate for 3 days. Mm. They took him to Mass General and gave him rhea pills.
Rich guy health gets you back on the mound within 3 days, and he wasn't back on the mound within 3 days.
Well, I think
that's
more of an arm issue.
But that makes me worry, is that maybe the stomach issues are from some sort of medication that he's taking for his arm. Or he got a cortisone shot, and he couldn't get back on the mound in the 48 hours that you're supposed to rest your arm. That to me is something different.
Every hospital has medicine that no one knows about except for rich people.
That's right. It's like the secret stash.
Yes.
It's the top shelf of the medical community.
Yes. Right. I mean, if you think about it, like celebrities go in, like an athlete especially, all the time.
Sure.
For like the like so and so's under the weather, and then they're like at the hospital, and it's like something they would do for nobody else.
Excuse me, Francis. We've checked his 10:40. Please go to the blue room.
Yeah, exactly.
The blue room.
Like, oh, he's a Patriot. Well, come on in, and they open up a safe.
Right. Yeah. They walk into like an empty hospital room, and they pull a lever, and it just like rotates.
That's
and all of a sudden, you're
the
in a
bad
special
stuff
one.
Gets shifted to behind, and then the top doc thing comes in from front.
Because you can imagine, like, every time that like you had a like a stomach ache or had a cold. Because not just Chris Sale. You get to go to the hospital and they like drug you all up and give you the super rich guy drugs.
But why not say, if it is a stomach problem, why not say it?
Like, it's funnier to go, I was screwing around with this belly ring. I mean, he was trying to be funny.
Well, he's supposed
successful.
To meet the media today. Maybe the media with a second chance. Okay. You know, it's because he's the game one starter. He's got a media appearance scheduled for this afternoon. Maybe
the first question could be, "Can I see your belly ring?"
Yes.
And if he goes, "I have it out now," go, "Can I see? Can I see?"
Because where the infection is.
Yeah.
And could you have any other piercings?
Right.
What do you call the one there downstairs? There's a Prince Albert.
That's right.
Yeah. But do you have a Prince Albert, like Paulie DeVecchio?
Oh, he has one? I didn't know if he...
Well, first season of Jersey Shore, him and Jay Wow get into bed, and she sees the man's manhood, and there's an old Prince Albert.
See, I didn't realize that was happening there.
No.
No idea.
Well, I mean, why am I even here? And then Jay Wow tells her boyfriend, and that's... There's Splitsville after that.
I just love it how none of those guys followed up. And watch the video. Stone-faced. Every one of them.
Second chance.
There might be eight reporters there with mics in their face, and every single one, not a one of them is smiling or nodding or rolling their eyes. And everyone's, they're dying for a reason to laugh at these press conferences. These guys say the dumbest joke, and everyone cackles laughing when you go to any kind of locker room situation. So for them to just go, I had to sit back and have to go, hang on, what do they know that I don't know? It's very, very, very strange, these baseball reporters and how they cover this team. All I do know is that Dan Lifshitz has got to be very happy because the Red Sox, slight favorites over the Dodgers to win the World Series, according to odds makers. Now, do you think that's because of the money that's coming their way, or do you think that's for legit reasons? Do you think that they should be favored in this matchup, John
Wallace? They should be slightly favored, yeah. Okay. 108 games, they would have home field advantage. Yep. They got a great offense, two MVP candidates. Yeah, I'll give it to them.
Dom, hello.
Wow, nice. That was quick. So
No one calls.
In the morning. I always have a little story for you. I'm the guy that once got thrown down Kauffman Stadium steps. So I got one for rich people medicine. I have pretty bad arthritis from all my years of low-level wrestling and you know, guy was telling me at one point he thought he had a serious tendon problem. But my first thought, I said to him, oh, so do I need Tommy John? Guy had to literally stop from laughing. He's like, no, they don't get Tommy John for regular people. You don't need Tommy John for wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, unless it's valuable to someone else, you're not getting big surgeries like that.
No, I mean, because they'll say, why do you need Tommy John surgery? What are you doing? AIDS story. They have a cure, and I have a story for you.
Is that online, too?
I say you answer that one.
Okay.
Let's hear a nice AIDS story, shall we?
Because
that's apparently what's waiting online.
Let's raise the room.
Let's put it this way. I mean, Magic Johnson seems to be in very good health.
That's a good point. Yep.
Right.
Matt, go ahead.
I was just going to say that. So in the early 2000s, I was a custodian at AstraZeneca in Westboro, and they had the cure for AIDS there. And the only reason that I know that they did was because I happened to go into the wrong area to do some cleaning and was promptly shut down by superiors and told, no, you can't go in there. That's where, you know, that's where they keep the cure, and your pay is worth nothing compared to what that's worth. So pretty interesting that they have the, that's a first world problem, I guess.
Yeah.
They have the cure for AIDS and they're not telling anyone?
It's not, no. It's not the cure for AIDS, but now you can take medicine, and it used to be exceptionally expensive. I don't know if it is anymore.
Well,
that
he's
stops
a business
the
person. He's got AIDS.
that stops HIV becoming AIDS.
Sure.
So he had AIDS.
That's Donald Sterling. Remember when he did that thing about Magic Johnson?
When he had those AIDS.
When he had those AIDS.
Sure.
He's got AIDS.
It's a man who, it's a man who understands the disease like the back of his hand. Donald Sterling.
Well, I think he has HIV. He doesn't actually have full-blown AIDS.
There was Anderson Cooper sitting down with him at the time.
He got AIDS.
When he had those AIDS.
When he had them.
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS.
That was just, that was 30 minutes of a man just losing his mind on TV. Oh, Donald Sterling was just...
It's amazing he was taken advantage of by a woman.
Let the games begin. What was her name? V Stiviano?
Yeah.
She wore that huge thing in front of she, you know.
What is she up? What is V Stiviano up to these days? I wonder.
I'm sure she's living the good life.
I'm sure she's loved by the John Sterling's kids. All right. What do we got coming up there in the old stack of roosters?
We have, this is interesting, a famous shunned comedian did a show in Saugus this weekend. Just came out of hiding and out of nowhere rocks the Giggles Comedy Club with Lenny Clark this weekend. That is strange. On top of that,
were they ever at Calhoun?
They did not go to Calhoun Comedy with a K. They did not do that. On top of that, we have some more updates about some of the betting you can do for the upcoming World Series.
All right. Has anybody told Sarge that all this stuff is not my fault?
I have not.
So everyone just goes along with it that it's my fault.
I wasn't aware it was my job to do that.
Well, I don't have his telephone number.
I can give it to you if you'd like.
I would like him to know that it's not my fault.
Okay, I'll give you his number and you can text him.
Because I'm getting emails from his friends now.
Oh.
Are you? Well, there you go.
That's not good.
That's not good at all.
Do you understand why I don't want to do this?
But the Sarge, I don't want to get into it again, but the Sarge bits where he sings aren't making fun of him.
No.
They're funny to me.
However, if he believes that you have been making fun of him, why would he want to do something for us? I don't want to be the one to ask him.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
No, I understand what you're saying. But I don't know how mad he is at us, or if it's warranted that he should be.
Aha!
You know?
Someone needs to gauge the temperature a little bit.
I don't think we did. I mean, we goofed on him during Sarge's cribs, but I don't think we've been mean to him. I mean, callers call up and it's like a goofy thing. I mean, it's not.
And
like
he
we
was
told
here
to...
for three straight days when that happened.
Yeah, it happened while he was here.
Okay,
like it wasn't like I said, "Hey, Sarge sucks" or anything. I don't think that. I like Sarge. I mean, he's an odd fella, but I like him. All right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
All right, first of all, there's an episode of a show that you guys have to watch. It's the show Atlanta is an excellent show anyway. Its second season finished a couple months ago, and it's like a 30-minute comedy, and it's really easy to watch, and it's very funny. But there's one episode that you don't have to watch any episode before or after it to watch this single one, and it's in the second season. It's called Teddy Perkins. Now, when it aired, apparently they wanted it to run commercial-free for reasons I'm not going to spoil for you. But it's the tone of this is completely different than anything else that's been on the show. It is probably 40 minutes of some of the most genuinely terrifying TV I've seen in a long time. So one of the stars of the show is, you guys both saw the movie Get Out, right?
Yeah,
okay. I did not see it.
Okay,
I did
not see the guy at the very beginning who gets kidnapped and gets turned into one of the, you know, Get Out robots or whatever, where they, you know, go into his brain. He's one of the main people in it. So at the beginning of the episode, he's answering some ad where there's somebody who wants to give him this really expensive piano. They basically said, first one to come and get it, you know, it's yours. So he goes to this mansion that's in the middle of nowhere. And when he gets there, he goes into the house, and the guy who lives there all by himself in this creepy, like, unkempt house with no lights and just like all these like shades drawn is a dude who looks a lot like Michael Jackson. He can't tell if he's white or he's black, but his skin looks like they described him as Sammy Sosa. And as a matter of fact, at one point, all him and all of his friends, he calls them and they Google Sammy Sosa with a hat and they all start cracking up. But I'm not going to tell you what happens afterwards, but it is 30 of the most terrifying minutes after that point. And it is one of the best episodes of TV I watched. You don't have to watch the beginning or the end, any of the episodes before it. It's called Teddy Perkins. And since then, there's been all sorts of weird internet sites that have talked about this. And I kind of spent way more time than I should have. Just once again, Atlanta, the episode is called Teddy Perkins. It's excellent. Now, speaking of strange people who strange things happening, according to the Boston Globe, Louis C.K. came out of hiding to do a comedy set at Giggles Comedy Club right next to Prince Pizza in Saugus. That's right. He was unscheduled. And
Lenny Clark's home club.
It is. I think Lenny Clark's brother owns it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I read that in the article. So they said that, you know, this is, of course, after last year he admitted masturbating in front of a bunch of female comedians. So apparently the owner of the club, which is Lenny Clark's brother, told the Globe that he was just in town visiting his family and he called him. He also added that Louis C.K. was well received and the nearly sold out crowd had gathered to see Lenny Clark. He said that no customers heckled Louis C.K. and no one walked out during his act. He said, quote, "I have to admit I was a little cautious," said the owner. He added that he asked the comedians who were scheduled to perform if they were okay with the idea. So Christine Hurley, who took the stage after Louis C.K. Saturday night, said she supported his victims but wasn't necessarily opposed to performing after him. She said, quote, "I mean, that's my job." He said, "I don't agree with what he did, but I'm not a political person." So he was introduced by Lenny Clark. Louis C.K. took the stage at about 10 o'clock and performed for about 15 to 20 minutes, mixing in new jokes as well as familiar material. Mike Clark said he's a good friend, he's a good guy, and I believe that people deserve second chances. He did a great job last night. I guess he went and tried this in New York somewhere, and there were people who got up and walked out. And
besides the one at the Comedy Cellar?
Is that the one? Is that the one in New York?
Yeah, I was only aware that he did the Comedy Cellar once.
Okay, because they said that, okay, said Louis C.K. had a notebook when he performed, was gracious and humble. They said it was regular Louis, definitely didn't play it safe. Some jokes fired, some jokes missed. He said every once in a while he would bomb a joke and say, well, that wasn't very good, and he would move on. So the crowd apparently was very polite. They did not walk out, much like they said he did in New York, so he is out and about trying to make a comeback.
There you go. Jay, and then you just go over to the Loon.
Well, they were busy apparently hosting tons of wrestlers, which I saw a bunch of pictures from with Jay Stu and Sarge all around this weekend. I think Jim Murray was out there. Joe Murray was out there as well.
Nice. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to defend Sarge a little bit. I think that this whole thing with everybody calling and crapping on him, it's funny. It's hilarious. But I think what's lost is Sarge is a nice guy, and he's just a little insecure. So he kind of, like, tries to pump up the little things he does know about. But I think he has a lot to add to the show. I just wish – and, Fred, definitely you are not in fault at all.
Thank you.
For anybody crapping on Sarge. I think Rich is doing the old, Opie and Anthony thing where he's like, oh, please, don't anybody ever do this again. Please, please, callers, don't do it. So I just want to say – Sarge is an idiot, but I love him.
Aha!
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Kind of went around and, yeah, not sure what that was exactly.
He's saying it's Rich's fault.
That I get the people to call?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I do definitely do that at the end of the calls. Don't call again, because that part does actually make me laugh.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That one does. Well, there is a show that was rumored to be brought back from the dead. You know, all these different shows getting rebooted. Fred, I'm going to play you the first couple of seconds of the theme song. I want to see how long it takes for you to get this, okay?
Yes. Oh, that's Home Improvement.
Home Improvement.
Oh.
Apparently the show was ready to be relaunched, and then Last Man Standing got revived from Fox. And apparently everyone had talked. They were all ready to go and do it, and Fox said, here's some money.
Even Taylor Thomas?
Apparently had the Taylor boys.
Wow.
Brad, Randy, and Mark.
Who's the one who left early?
character's name. Who's the one?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
No, that's Randy. The actor.
Randy.
Randy.
All right.
Yeah, he left early, but then he would come back every now and again.
Right, there was some brilliant movie career awaiting him.
Yeah, I mean, he was a honk.
Yeah, that's right.
He was like a Ricky Schroeder when he was young.
Sure.
Yeah, I was thinking of Ladybugs. That's Jonathan Brandis, who was found dead. Yeah, like
committed suicide,
underwater.
If I remember correctly.
Oh, was it suicide?
I thought it was suicide.
Well, yes, it was. And there was an episode that I suggest everyone watch where Jill got a hysterectomy. And it was a very, very moving 22 minutes of television.
All right.
So go home. Look it up.
What's the name of the episode?
Jill gets a hysterectomy.
Well, thanks, John.
Stepping on this joke, setting him up for a punchline.
Sorry, I did it again.
Hystericalectomy?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say histocrazy.
It's erectomy? Because he wrecks everything?
Yeah, what happens is that Tim breaks the washing machine.
Yeah.
And then she's like, this is all I need. I this and the hysterectomy? And he goes,
And then they go to commercial.
Yeah, but that was a very serious one.
Yep. All right, well, Amy Schumer has said that she will not appear in any commercials during the 2019 Super Bowl because she supports Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, is it also because no one likes her anymore?
I would say it's maybe because no one's asking you. This is the best article ever since. I personally told my reps I wouldn't do a Super Bowl commercial this year, she wrote on Instagram. Hitting the NFL with the advertisers is the only way to really hurt them.
Well, how will anyone move any product if Amy Schumer's not involved?
So she also apparently urged members of the band Maroon 5 who were scheduled to play during the Super Bowl halftime to back out. And then
are you out of everyone? Mind?
Right. Yeah. Just kill the Super Bowl show halftime show then. What? You don't want Maroon 5 to bring happiness to everybody?
Yeah. I mean, now she's going to, I mean, she went a little too far. Don't mess with the five.
This is kind of great because it said that the NFL, the actress has been vocal about controversial issues in the past. And they said, as of until now, there have been no reports of her being asked to be in a commercial.
No.
So that was just, I'm just throwing it out there in case anyone wanted to.
I'm a hero. Mm-hmm. It would be funny to offer like $2 billion to be in a commercial.
And just have her say no.
Yeah. Well, you got to say no.
Well, you got to say no now. You can't take it.
Yeah.
That would be pretty great.
And then she ripped off everyone's jokes.
Is that her thing? She did that?
Oh, yeah. There's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You can have a good 30 minutes of YouTube of her directly ripping off people's jokes.
And this weekend, Halloween made a gazillion dollars. It was the second best October opening ever with $77.5 million. As a matter of fact, I heard somebody say it was the highest grossing opening weekend for a horror film with a female lead. And then I would say, don't most horror movies have a female lead?
Scream. Did Scream?
Yeah, it was Neve Campbell.
Yeah.
I mean, almost all of them, it's the female that kills the guy. Like, I mean, I think most of the Nightmare on Elm Street, I Know What You Did Last Summer, I think most of the Friday the 13th, like, usually it's a woman who ends up defeating whatever the thing is. I think Child's Play, it was like that.
Oh, every time you go see one of those movies, the devil is defeating the goodness in you. All right, we'll be right back. We'll find out what Zoe and Beto have on the way.
Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Scott Zolak, fresh off the victory in Chicago.
Real quick, this is from Adam Schefter. Just came out. Text from last night on Patriots running back Sony Michel and his injured knee. Quote, expect it will be a little bit, but not overly serious.
Whoa!
Won't know until they look at it Monday. That is from Adam Schefter. So that is kind of echoing what Ian Rappaport said this morning, is that it's not as bad as they thought, but it's something that we'll obviously be keeping an eye on.
I heard whispers that it was Burkhead-like. Remember when Burkhead got his knee wrenched, looked like it was awful in that Pittsburgh game last year?
Sure, yeah.
And then ended up coming back a couple weeks later for the playoff run in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, an ACLs, as soon as it's an ACL, it's out usually in an hour or 2 hours. Somebody gets the tip. Usually it's Schefter or Rappaport.
It's a good point, yeah.
But the fact that it has taken this long for Schefter not to get it, tells you that, okay, we might get this kid back.
All right.
And that's good.
Yeah.
He's trending right way, man.
Would you play? Okay, let's say Gronk, you know, they're saying that he's going to be fine to come back and play. But let's say he is having, you know, his back apparently stiffened up on Friday. Why would you play him against Buffalo? Wouldn't you keep him out for an extra week?
Well, if he's okay, you play him. You know what I mean?
But Buffalo is so bad.
They are bad, but I mean, you could put him out there and not really make him exert himself. You know what I'm saying? You could use him as a decoy, sort of block. His blocking's phenomenal. But Dwight Allen did a really good job blocking yesterday, but he has no threat in the passing game.
I don't think they threw a tight end once yesterday, did they?
No, God, no. And Hollister, who the hell knows what's wrong with him now? I mean, it's like one thing or another.
Yeah.
It's like he's got the kaputs put on him or something. You know, he can't get out of the tub. You know, whether it's a lung, whether it's a hamstring, you know, and they're kind of disappointed in that. But you're not throwing the ball to Dwayne Allen. I mean, the fact if you even put Gronk in a huddle, you got to count two safeties for him.
Yeah,
so that's why you would play him.
You hate Mitch Trubisky.
I don't hate anybody.
Yes, you do. I was listening
this
in the
team,
car.
This
and
team
you said, well, can't lose to this quarterback.
I called it warm-ups. I watched the kid warm up, and I watch it telly. We're there 4 hours prior to the game, and I watch everything. And you could just tell it. There was like a Tebow, rigidity to him. It's just very herky-jerky. And I looked at Bob, and I said, Bob, this kid's Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill. Because you're looking at all the numbers. He threw for six. Who the hell did he throw for six touchdowns against?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean.
I forget who that was.
But, I mean, you watch him in the game, and he starts running where Tampa. He didn't have to run. He breaks the pocket. This is coming off a game where we called a game against Mahomes. And we heard so much this week about it's Nagy and it's Andy Reid and it's the same offense. Different animal, man.
Yeah.
Different animal.
Yeah.
He had a bad day.
Well,
bad day.
And the word around the league is that he'll never be good.
Well, and I don't think Tannehill. And I've had this argument with you about Tannehill about numbers progressing, but you watch the product and you just know you're never going to win with this guy. Sad thing is they gave four picks up to the 49ers to trade up one draft spot to get this kid.
Yep.
Hey, I'm not a top 10 kid. What the hell I know? I know he ain't any good.
Well, you know that there's a man out there by the name
Pardon my French.
A man, Sammy D.
Who's Sammy D?
Sam Darnold that's got the whole league going, woof.
He's got that nice hair.
He does.
Sure does.
So good with the media. Humble kid.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
That's your guy?
Oh, yeah.
They should have not even scored 1 point based on the type of uniform that they wore yesterday.
It was awful green.
Disgusting.
How many of the interceptions yesterday were his fault? I didn't get to watch the game, but I know he had three.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, all right.
We're all Pats today. We sprinkle in some Red Sox every once in a while. We'll get to some Red Sox points, too. Get ready for Game 1 World Series tomorrow.
All right. That is indeed happening.
And Rondo's a spitter, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. No doubt that he did that. Can I hear that sound again?
Can stop me on a dime. I'm a glover.